I want you to think about the overhead costs of running a business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got your payroll, rent, raw materials.
All the usual suspects.
Right. But for certain industries, I'm thinking agriculture, food processing, municipal management, there is this massive silent line item.
The one nobody likes to talk about.
Exactly. It's the liability column.
Mm-hmm.
And usually that liability is, well, it's physical. It's tons of manure, thousands of gallons of sewage sludge, or, you know, rotting crop residue.
It's the stuff that we politely call waste, but which is, in reality, a logistical nightmare.
It really is. It's the stuff that smells, the stuff that leaks, and the stuff you have to pay someone a lot of money just to haul away.
Yeah.
Usually we think of this as the end of the line. It's garbage.
Right.
But today we are looking at a stack of research from Renewable Energy Consultants, LLC, specifically the work of a Bob Rice, that suggests we've been looking at this whole equation backwards.
It's a complete inversion of the economic model. We are looking at something called earth care gasification systems. And the premise here is that the liability you just mentioned, that rotting pile of organic trouble, is actually a misplaced asset.
A misplaced asset. I mean, that is a very generous way to describe hog manure.
It sounds generous, but the chemistry actually backs it up. The goal of this deep dive is to explore how a specific type of thermal engineering can take those waste streams, the wet, the smelly, the dangerous, and convert them into two distinct high-value products.
Amazark.
Clean energy and a soil amendment called EcoChar.
Okay, let's get into the mechanics of this.
Yeah.
Because I think most people, when they hear turning trash into energy, their brain goes straight to incineration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we picture a giant furnace where we just burn everything to ash. Is that what we're talking about here?
No, and that distinction is probably the most important technical takeaway from this research. This is not incineration.
Okay.
Incineration is a combustion process. You take fuel, you add oxygen, and you get fire.
Right.
The result is heat, ash, and smoke.
And usually a lot of pollution control issues that go with it.
Correct. What EarthCare is doing is gasification. It sounds similar, but the physics are totally different. Incineration relies on oxygen to feed the fire.
Right.
Gasification occurs in an oxygen-starved environment.
Okay, stop there for a second. The report mentions temperatures between, what, 1,000 and 1,500 degrees Fahrenheit?
That's right.
If I put a stack of cardboard or, you know, dried corn stalks in an oven at 1,500 degrees, it's going to burst into flames. How do they stop the physics of combustion?
That is the critical engineering trick. It's all about air control.
Yeah.
Combustion fire needs three things, right? Fuel, heat, and oxygen.
Right.
This system provides the massive heat and the fuel, but it rigorously strangles the oxygen supply.
So the material is desperate to burn, but it literally can't.
Exactly. And that state of desperation is where the magic happens. Because the molecules can't oxidize into ash and CO2 like a normal fire, they crack apart. The intense heat causes what's called thermal degradation. The complex carbon structures in the waste break down into simpler, volatile forms.
So instead of smoke, you're creating what exactly?
You are creating syngas. It's short for synthesis gas. In this specific system, the primary component is carbon monoxide, or CO.
Which is the stuff that usually sets off the detector in my hallway and makes me call the fire department.
In a house, yes, CO is a poison. But inside this machine, carbon monoxide is a highly combustible fuel just waiting for a match.
So they're turning solid trash into a gas vapor.
Into a volatile gas vapor. And once that gas is created inside the main chamber, it moves to a second stage, a thermal oxidizer, where they finally introduce a controlled amount of air.
And that's where the actual burning happens.
Right. But notice the difference. They aren't burning the trash. They are burning the gas that the trash released. The gas combusts, converting the CO to CO2, and that reaction releases a massive amount of thermal energy.
Okay, but it seems like a lot of effort just to get heat. Why go through the step of turning it into gas first? Why not just burn the manure directly?
It's all about control and cleanliness. When you burn a solid mass, it's messy. The temperature fluctuates, you get particulate matter, soot flying everywhere.
I see.
When you turn it into a gas first, you can control that combustion perfectly. It burns cleaner, hotter, and way more consistently.
Okay, that makes sense. Let's talk about what we are actually putting into this machine, the feedstock. Because the list provided in the source material is eclectic, to say the least.
It is essentially a who's who of organic headaches.
I mean, we've got the agricultural heavy hitters, poultry litter, dairy manure, hog manure,
which are huge sources of methane and water pollution.
Then we have crop residues like corn stover,
yeah,
municipal solid waste, so household trash.
Yeah.
And then the ones that really caught my eye, food processing byproducts and wastewater treatment plant biosolids.
Which is the polite industry term for sewage sludge.
Right. Now, here's my skepticism. A lot of that stuff, sewage sludge, fresh manure, food waste, it's wet, like 80% water.
Oh, yeah, very wet.
You can't burn water. And if you try to gasify a slurry, wouldn't the water just kill all the heat?
That is the primary challenge with any biomass. Water is the enemy of thermal efficiency. If you just dumped wet sludge into a 1,500-degree chamber, you'd spend all your energy just boiling off the water.
And you'd have nothing left over to create the syngas.
Nothing left. So you wouldn't get a net energy gain.
So you need dry trash then?
Ideally, yes. But the EarthCare system has an integrated solution for this. Because the process generates so much excess heat, they can divert a portion of that thermal energy right to the front of the line.
Oh, interesting.
They use their own waste heat to dry the incoming feedstock before it ever even hits the gasifier.
It pre-chews its own food.
In a manner of speaking, yeah. It lowers the moisture content to a level where gasification becomes really efficient. And this is huge because it means the facility doesn't have to buy expensive pre-drying equipment.
Or worse, spread the waste out in the sun to dry, which would smell terrible.
Yeah.
So we have the waste going in, getting dried, getting cooked into gas, and the gas gets burned to create heat. That brings us to the first value stream. What do we do with 1,500-degree heat?
Well, you have options. The simplest is just process heat using it to warm a building or run a boiler. But for most commercial applications, you want higher grade energy.
You want steam or electricity.
You want steam or electricity. The report mentions steam turbine generators and also ORC hot water generator systems.
What's an ORC?
It's an organic Rankine cycle. It's basically a way to generate electricity from lower temperature heat sources. But what's really impressive here is what they call the variable controlled drives.
Explain that.
Well, think about a standard incinerator. You turn it on, it burns. You turn it off. It's kind of a blunt instrument.
Right, all or nothing.
The EarthCare system uses variable drives on the augers. Those are the big screws that push the waste through and on the air fans. This acts like a throttle on a car.
So they can speed it up or slow it down.
Exactly. If the facility creates a sudden demand for more steam, the system can ramp up the feed rate. If they're running low on feedstock, they can slow it down to an idle. It matches the energy output to the facility's demand in real time.
So it's not just a disposal unit, it's a responsive power plant.
Correct. But if we stop there, we just have a fancy power plant. The real game changer, and the reason this tech is gaining so much traction, is what comes out the other end of the machine.
This would be the EcoChar.
Yes. And we need to be very, very clear about what this is, because it is not ash.
I think that's a common confusion. You burn wood in a fireplace, you get white, dusty ash.
Yeah.
You're saying this produces char. What's the physical difference?
It goes right back to that oxygen-starved environment. If you burn waste completely in an open fire, the oxygen reacts with all the carbon, turning it into CO2 gas.
Okay.
The only thing left is the minerals, calcium, silica, potassium. That's ash. It's just unstructured dust. In gasification, because we starve the process of oxygen, we stop that reaction before all the carbon is consumed. We drive off the volatile gases, but we leave the fixed carbon behind.
A fixed carbon. Is that just a fancy way of saying charcoal?
Visually, yes. It looks like charcoal. But structurally, it's more like a hotel for microbes.
A hotel for microbes.
Because the gasification process drives out all the moisture and volatiles so explosively, what's left is this rigid carbon skeleton, and it is incredibly porous.
Oh, it has a lot of surface area.
An insane amount. To give you a sense of scale, 1 gram of this EcoTur, a pile the size of a sugar cube, can have the internal surface area of a football field.
Come on. A football field in a sugar cube. Really?
But the physics checks out. It's a fractal structure of micropores. And that massive surface area acts like a magnet. It holds onto water, for one, which prevents drought stress in plants.
Okay.
But more importantly, it holds onto nutrients.
So if I mix this into my soil...
It acts as a battery for your soil. Think about how we usually farm. We spray nitrogen and phosphorus fertilizer on the ground. Then it rains.
And a huge percentage of that just washes away.
Washes away before the plant can even eat it. It's money down the drain.
Right.
And an environmental disaster, which we can get to. But if you have EcoChar in the soil, that carbon sponge traps the nitrogen, it holds it in that hotel until the plant roots actually need it. It creates a slow release mechanism.
And the source material mentions that because it was cooked at 1500 degrees, it's sterile.
That is the other half of the equation, and it's critical. If you are a farmer spreading raw manure or biosolids, you're taking a risk. You are potentially spreading E. coli, salmonella, growth hormones, antibiotic residues.
You're reintroducing the very problems you're trying to get rid of.
Exactly. But the EarthCare process is a thermal reset button. At those temperatures, pathogens are obliterated. Organic compounds like antibiotics just break down. You are taking a biohazard and turning it into a sterile, high-performance soil amendment.
So, okay, we have a machine that eats trash, makes power, and creates a soil superfood. Let's look at the economics, though. Because usually green tech comes with a massive green premium. It costs more to do the right thing. Is that happening here?
That's the assumption, right? But looking at the ROI breakdown in these Bob Rice reports, the math is surprisingly aggressive. It all relies on a concept called tipping fees.
Tipping fees. So that's industry speak for paying the dump to take your trash.
Correct. If you're a municipality or a large food processor, you have a budget line item for waste disposal. You pay $50, $80, maybe $100 a ton just to get rid of this stuff.
It's a sunk cost.
But in the EarthCare model, if you own the gasifier, you become the destination. Your neighbors, local farms, the city waste management, they pay you to take their waste.
Wait, so I'm not just getting free fuel for my generator.
Better. You are getting paid to take the fuel.
Wow.
Imagine if Shell paid you to fill up your gas tank because they ran out of storage space. That is the economic inversion happening here.
That changes the ROI completely. You have revenue coming in the front door with the waste, revenue from the energy savings in the middle, and then revenue from selling the EcoChar out the back door.
Exactly. It's a three-tiered revenue model. And the operational costs are relatively low. The system is designed to be highly automated.
The report mentions two operators.
Two operators per shift, and it includes offsite monitoring. So the engineers at EarthCare or the consultants can log in remotely, check the temperatures, check the pressure of the syngas.
And troubleshoot without having to fly a technician out to the site.
Right. It's designed for the real world, not a lab.
Speaking of the real world, let's talk about the neighbors again. Because if I propose building a manure processing plant next to a subdivision, the town hall meeting is going to be spirited.
To put it mildly, yes. The number one objection is always going to be odor.
And rightly so. Raw manure smells.
It does. But the gasification process itself is completely enclosed. The cooking happens inside sealed augers and chambers. The smell doesn't escape.
And what about the exhaust?
For the exhaust, the air that finally leaves the stack, the system includes something called a biofilter.
And how effective is that?
The data shows it reduces emissions to very low parts per million. It essentially scrubs the odor compounds. The report claims that odors are destroyed, not just masked. So what comes out of the stack is mostly CO2 and water vapor.
That's a huge win for community relations. But I want to circle back to the water issue you mentioned earlier. We talked about fertilizer runoff.
This is, in my opinion, the most understated benefit of the whole system. Right now, we have a crisis with nutrient pollution. We have too much phosphorus and nitrogen running off farms into waterways.
Which causes algae blooms, kills fish, creates dead zones.
All of that. It's because we're dumping unstable nutrients on the land. When you gasify that manure, you concentrate the phosphorus and potassium into the EcoChar. But because it's bound in that carbon matrix, it doesn't just dissolve instantly in water.
It stays put.
It stays put. It solves the runoff problem at the source. It creates a mechanism to transport nutrients safely.
What do you mean?
You can take EcoChar made from hog manure in a nutrient-heavy area, put it on a truck, and ship it to a farm that actually needs fertilizer without worrying about it leaking or smelling along the way.
It turns a localized pollution problem into a distributable resource.
It does. And on the carbon footprint side, the source calls it carbon negative.
Which is a big claim.
It's a big claim, but it holds up. Think about the alternative. If that organic waste goes to a landfill, it decomposes anaerobically. That releases methane.
And methane is a greenhouse gas. It's way worse than CO2.
About 25 to 80 times worse, depending on the time frame you look at. By gasifying the waste, you prevent that methane generation entirely. Plus, you are displacing the fossil fuels you would have used for energy.
Right.
And D, you are burying stable carbon, the EcoChar, back into the soil where it can stay for hundreds of years.
It's a triple win for the climate.
Yeah.
Now, is this actually happening or is this just a nice PowerPoint presentation?
No, it is definitely happening. The documents list a series of active projects.
Oh, yeah. Where are they?
There's a project in Georgia at an ethanol plant. Ethanol production creates a lot of wet grain, residue-perfect feedstock. There is a project in Ohio specifically dealing with swine manure.
That's the big leagues of waste management.
It really is. There are projects in the Netherlands dealing with both swine and poultry. And remember, the Netherlands has some of the strictest environmental regulations in the world. If you can get a permit there, the tech is solid.
Okay, so it's been tested under pressure.
Absolutely. And Indiana, too. Projects involving municipal solid waste and cow manure. This is deploying technology, not a prototype.
It really reframes the whole concept of consumption, doesn't it? We usually think of the supply chain as a straight line. Make, buy, use, trash.
And this bends that line into a circle.
Right. But what sticks with me is the safety aspect. We are taking something that is objectively dangerous, you know, manure laced with E. coli or antibiotics, and using heat to not just sanitize it, but to upgrade it.
That's the key takeaway. It's not just waste management. It's nutrient recovery. We're mining the trash for the gold we accidentally threw away.
It makes you wonder what else we're burying in the ground that we should be running through a thermal oxidizer.
Probably a lot. We tend to view waste as a failure of the system, but in nature, waste is just the feedstock for the next cycle. This machine just accelerates that cycle from, you know, years down to minutes.
A thermal time machine for dirt. I like that.
I might have to steal that one.
Well, next time you take out the trash, maybe give it a second look. It might just be the most valuable thing you hold all day. That's it for this deep dive into EarthCare gasification. Thanks for listening, and stay curious.